All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. It's 9 o'clock. Ooh, 9 o'clock on the nose. Good job, Sean and Seth. Right on cue, right on clock. We do Take a Mania at this time every Friday. The worst takes that we've heard in the last week going up against the defending champ. Love that we're bumping in with No Chance in Hell by Vince McMahon. I love that. Or Vince McMahon's theme song. He didn't sing it. So here we go. We do this every week. We've been doing it since February. We've had many champions hold the strap, some longer than others. Only for maybe 5 minutes if a bad enough take pops up in the same segment. That's happened a couple of times. Happened last week. But nevertheless, the champ that emerged from last week was former Kansas City radio host, now podcaster, Kevin Keatsman. Been in that market for a long time. And he's got a podcast now that's half political, half sports. And he had this very polarizing take, bad enough take to become champion of Take a Mania, about Patrick Mahomes' dad bod.
Meanwhile, vacation photos are popping up of Patrick Mahomes, and he's fat. I'm going to say it, and I'm going to tell you the truth. That's why you hit the play button. He's an embarrassment. You're a $500 million quarterback. You've made all these comments in the offseason that we're going to do our talking on the field. We got our butts kicked in the Super Bowl. We're coming back with a vengeance. Dude, you're fat. Your belly would be fat at my pool, hanging out with us, 60-year-olds, okay? My skin's flabbier than yours. I get it. Stop. Stop the fast food. Do a sit-up. Do something. Yeah, I'm sure he's worked out and strengthened his arm, and he's done all kinds of different things, quarterback things, but there's no training to this man. I don't understand it. He's not a kid anymore. You can't just run through your NFL career eating Taco Bell all the time and door dashing fried chicken, which he loves, from that one place over in Leawood where he gets it all the time. It's time, dude. It's time.
Okay, I mean, I don't know how much we need to re-adjudicate this.
Yeah, we don't have to re-adjudicate. Yeah. It's just so bad. The biggest thing that I hate about it, honestly, okay, no, there's multiple things I hate about it. Like, the fact that, if you've seen the photos that he was talking about, like, no, he's not fat.
No.
I think all I know is that Keatsman spends too much time on Instagram.
Yeah.
Because he, like, his version of what an NFL quarterback looks like must be fueled by, like, just gawking at Instagram fitness influencers or something.
Yeah.
He's not. He doesn't have a great body. He's got a dad bod.
Yeah.
But he's not, and he doesn't look any different than he's looked in previous years or anything.
No.
And obviously, just like he does all kinds of, it's a dumb take.
Okay. It's a dumb.
He's the champion for a reason. We don't have to explain it.
That's right. So he is the champ. That is the champion take right now in Take a Mania. All right. So here we go. I'm the one who finds the talent. Seth decides who goes over in these things.
And I think I realize we need to explain this every week because some people don't get it. This is the, you win it by being a horrible take.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Every week we get a few people saying like, no, guys, that's a bad take. How could that be? Right. That's the point.
That's why it's
the champion.
It's an ironically named segment, Take a Mania. Yes. Yeah. So this is Steve Sarkisian at SEC Media Days this week, talking about the University of Texas and where NIL and money to players fits within their culture there.
We only have so much money to go around, and so we've got to do a great job evaluating. We've got to do a great job of rewarding those players that are doing it at a high level within our program so that they don't go anywhere else. But we've also got to continue to develop our players as they grow and make sure that our players aren't doing this for the idea of money. And I think sometimes, quite frankly, I think it hurts us a little bit in recruiting, in the fact that when kids come on our campus, one of the first things we do, we don't talk about NIL. We don't talk about NIL or revenue sharing or publicity rights until the very end. And that may hurt us on some kids, but if a kid is coming to Texas for that reason, we don't want them anyway. You know, we want kids that want to be at the University of Texas because of the school, the coaches, the team, the culture, all those things that go into it. And, oh, by the way, you can get publicity rights or revenue share, so on and so forth. If you're coming for the other reason, he's probably going to be the guy in 18 months that's back in the portal going somewhere else where they're going to offer him more money.
Okay. He says some very valid things there. Please make your analogy again today for those who missed it when we played that audio yesterday. Of the call girl.
This is like a guy taking a high-priced escort out to dinner and acting like the money isn't a matter. The money isn't a factor, despite everybody knowing what's going to happen.
Sex at the end that you know is coming.
Yeah. Like, okay, yeah, Joe, you don't have to talk about the money. It's already been agreed to.
Right.
So, it's a bad take, but it's also, it's him trying to present an image, and it speaks to the truth of also, you do want to, yes, you... Texas spends more money than anybody else. And when you do spend more money than anybody else, it's easy to not talk about money when you're the richest guy. You know, it's easy to make it about the... I love reading these autobiographies by billionaires where they act like they were never driven by the money. It was never a thing. It was always about the love of creating microprocessors or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's so easy to say after you've reached the pinnacle, okay? Shut up with your money-grubbing ass. But this isn't as bad a take as the Mahomes thing.
No, I don't think so either. I'm with you on that one. Imagine the owner of the Dodgers saying, there's only so much money to go around, you know.
That's
kind of what it is.
You know what it feels like? It's almost like when some kid that inherits his father's wealth and fortune and becomes CEO of the company tries to present it like it's almost a disadvantage in a lot of ways because people's I had to prove to people that they had to take me for real.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, by virtue of that statement, I can't take you for
right,
real.
Right, right. How the nepotism is actually keeping me down. I don't know if you know that.
Yes, yes.
John Smoltz had this to say on a podcast about generational pitchers. In 3 years, there might not be any generational pitchers anymore.
Mark my words. I'll give it 3 years. When the generational three-year pitchers, the great guys that we know are going to call it career here in the next 3 years, you're never going to see them again. The Verlanders, the Kershaws, Adam Wainwright just retired. You're never going to see Charlie Morton. You're never going to see Zach Wheeler. Like, that to me should be the narrative that organizations are going, man, we got to find a way to reverse this narrative because that commodity is getting shorter and shorter and shorter, and we're going to have to replace it more, more, and more.
Okay.
I
let me just say something before you judge this real quick, because I'm the one who brings the talent in. You're the one who eventually books the results here.
Yeah.
I hate the fact that I was on the fence about even bringing this one in. I hate the fact that what made me bring it in was the odd dropping of Charlie Morton's name amongst all those Hall of Famers that he's mentioning there.
I know. That's exactly where I am. I can't. I don't.
I hate that.
It's so bad that he put Charlie Morton
in
there.
It doesn't make any sense.
And we love Charlie Morton. Charlie Morton would tell you that doesn't – listen, John.
You know what? Morton would. Charlie Morton is probably wondering why I was mentioned with Verlander and Kershaw and Zach Wheeler. Yeah.
I appreciate it, but I think this is the first time I've been called a generational MLB pitcher in my life.
Yeah.
So – that makes it bad. Mark my words at the beginning.
Yeah.
I had missed that the first time we played it. Mark my words gives it a level of confidence that I think does vault it up a little bit.
It's tough talk. Yep.
Oh, we could go through the... So basically, I misheard it the first time too earlier this week. But basically he's saying after these guys retire, there's not going to be any of these pitchers that have that same cachet or anything, and I think that's a bad take.
Yeah, I don't know that it's true.
Any of the current pitchers can't be elevated. After 10 years from now, they're not going to be viewed the same way.
I think the spirit of his take is the game is changing for starting pitchers, which overall.
Yeah.
But I think he did a poor job of illustrating and framing it. But yet, is that enough to knock out Keatsman?
It's got a lot of potential, but he also didn't have the same like odd venom towards a hometown quarterback that Keatsman did. So no, he does not dethrone Keatsman.
Keatsman is kicked out again. This next one is from Hayden, right? Seth
Hayden
of
Winks.
Underdog?
Yeah.
Hayden Winks of Underdog, who contends that the Texans actually the worst trade in franchise history, the DeAndre Hopkins trade.
Yeah.
That now, lo these many years later, as it turns out, the Texans won the DeAndre Hopkins trade.
You probably think that the Texans lost that David Johnson for DeAndre Hopkins trade, but guess what? You turned out to be wrong.
Wrong!
In addition to getting David Johnson, the Texans also received a 2020 second round pick and a 2021 fourth rounder. That second round pick, well, immediately wasted, nose tackle, nobody cares. But that 2021 fourth rounder turned out to be awesome down the line. The Texans called the Panthers the next draft, offered that fourth round pick and some other draft capital to move all the way up to 89th overall. They really had nobody at wide receiver, so they took developmental ex-wide receiver Nico Collins. Definitely took out some time, but Nico Collins is now a bona fide superstar and a 12th overall pick over on Underdog Fantasy.
How do you like them, Max?
More importantly, the Texans have CJ Stroud and Nico Collins under contract through at least the 2027 season. They've already won two playoff games together. In those games, Nico Collins, 96 yards in a tutty, 122 yards in a tutty. Not bad for just a throw-in.
Okay, this is where, real quick, and I'll let you lay this out, Seth, but just real quick for benefit of the people only listening on audio right now, this is why it's not a bad idea to go find YouTube or Twitch to watch, because Seth's reaction, there are certain bad takes where it's just funny and he's cracking up laughing. There's other ones where it looks like he's experiencing actual physical pain as he's listening to the takes, and this was a colonoscopy take for you.
I love the fact that he, with a straight face, said they took that fourth round pick and other picks to trade for this other draft who happened to be a wide receiver. He almost makes it sound like they traded DeAndre Hopkins for Nico Collins with that trade.
Yeah.
When in actuality, it's a nice coincidence that Nico Collins is a wide receiver. This is like making a bad deal. But eventually, you take 20 of those dollars that you got when you sold off your Chevette for $200
yeah,
and actually made a good decision somewhere down the line. It's like it's trying to keep track of your individual dollars in a business.
Yeah.
And somehow acting like, well, actually, we know. Remember that really bad product we rolled out? But we did keep like $100 from that. And then eventually we pooled that $100 with more money and it ended up being a great deal. There you go.
I'll tell you.
This is why people get fired.
Yeah. I will tell you, as a Texan fan, having listened to that take now at least four or five times, the part now where I'm at, I'm insulted as a Texan fan that this person completely, this Hayden, completely ignores the damage that trade did over the period of time that it mattered. Right?
Like, and the guys that made the move for the DeAndre Hopkins trade were not the guys who eventually ended up taking that fourth round pick and making something of it.
Yep, yep.
So it's like the old boss made a mistake.
Yeah.
The new boss comes in and cleans things up, and now we're going to credit the old boss for making that bad move that got him fired? No.
So where are we at?
No, boy, I hate his delivery. Mm-hmm. It's not as entertaining. The use of tutty.
Yeah.
And them dropping that how you like them apples
on
it too. But Keatsman's
bad, man. Keatsman is a formidable champion right now.
Okay. This has, you know what? This Hayden Winks one, it insults the viewer.
Yep.
And it also fuels the contrarians on Twitter who actually agreed with this take. The minimal number of Texans fans were like, yep, I told you so.
So
yes, this is the new champion.
Winner.
This is bad. This is bad.
All right, let's see. We got two more challengers. Let's see how it stands up. We'll make this one quick because I don't think this one is going to take over Hayden. But Seth's the one who books the results here. This is Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach of Mizzou, their college football team, at SEC Media Days. He is apparently advocating a 30-team college football playoff.
You just hit the podium and pitched a 30-team playoff. Walk me through that. Is that something you've been stewing on? Is that off the top of the head with freestyling up there?
No, it's not really something that's outrageous. It's based off of the 12-team playoff where you had automatic qualifiers, but now we've decided we want to expand it to 16. So instead of doing 11-5, which you're going to put 11 teams in the hands of a human committee that nobody's going to agree. They're all going to have implicit bias. Why would we even do that? I mean, nobody thinks that the NCAA, we spend hours arguing on about who was the 69th and 70th team in the NCAA tournament. What do you think we're going to do with the 11 there? So why not expand the opportunities, give four play-in games to the SEC, four in play-in games to the Big Ten, three to the ACC, three to the Big 12, and say, man, create more opportunities for the fan bases to get excited, create more opportunities for players to compete for championships. And that doesn't sit well with probably some of the blue bloods who are going to consistently be ranked in preseason rankings in the top 25 explicitly because of their names, not necessarily because of their teams, but because of the brand bias that we have in college football. Instead, make people earn it. Make people earn it on the field.
Okay, to be clear, what he's advocating, Seth, is take the humans out of it altogether, so the selection committee, and use the standings in those conferences to create essentially a, like, little mini play-in brackets to the big tournament against each other.
I think this this would be the best way to get a tournament where you see nothing but the best freshman and sophomore, many of whom were backups during the regular season, as every single draft prospect fails the hell out.
You're 100% right. That is a great point.
This would be the best group of 19 and 20-year-olds you could see playing college football.
Opt-outs would be massive in something like this.
And yet, because it's the Wild West in college football right now, and it's not like he's making horrible, horrible arguments. Who knows? For all I know, there's going to be 32 teams in the NCAA playoffs a few years from now.
Yeah, yeah.
So this doesn't. This isn't a bad enough take to beat any of those.
100%. I agree with you. It's a take that kicks out. So who's one? Hayden Winks from Underdog is our champion. He just kicked out. It's more of a take I disagree with and don't want than it is a bad a classical bad take. Like, he thinks that they're. I do think the bad part of it, yeah, you're right. They're asking players to essentially play like at least a couple more games here on top of the rest of the playoffs and on top of a 12-game regular season. And I know the guys, the players I know from 30,000 feet, they, quote, get paid now, but a ton of them don't make enough to justify two more games worth of punishment on their bodies. You know, like that's – all right, so last one here. Here was Mike Francesa's review of the – Mike Francesa, longtime New York radio host, streams now for Bet Rivers, a betting website. This was part of his 8-minute rant about how horrible the new Superman movie is.
What I'm getting into is this stunk as for someone who's a old-time TV show Superman guy trying to get entertained for a couple hours and wants to see Superman. This movie was pure torture to sit through. Torture. I mean, I'll tell you this. If my name was on the credits, I'd hide it. That's how bad it was. This was 2 hours of this new Superman. It was a decent. He wasn't Christopher Reeve, but he was okay Superman. 2 hours of him getting the crap beat out of him. Who wants to see Superman get beat up for 2 hours? He's getting beat up by everybody. Plus, you have other superheroes in the movie. I didn't go there to see some guy named Mr. Terrific. I didn't go there to see the Green Lantern or some lady named Hawk something or other. I don't even know who she was. Okay, these other superheroes who he calls on. Who needs other superheroes? This is a Superman movie. You want to see Superman flirt with Lois Lane, keep his disguise, and battle crime. That's what you want to see. Early on, there's robots. I don't want robots. Okay, I don't want robots taking care of Superman. I don't. Then there's a super dog. Who came up with a super dog? I mean, we all like dogs, okay? And I didn't like the dog getting beat on in the movie. It bothered me. But, hey, who came up with a dog with a cape?
So, Ben, thank you, Ben, for pointing out. Because at first, the only reason he's in the running for Takemania is because at first I didn't think he would be or should be because it's his opinion on
it's
a
his
movie.
Opinion.
You can like or hate a movie however much you want. But the fact that Ben found that the first time Super Dog appeared in the Superman comics was 1955.
Right.
So as Francesa is, presenting himself as an old-time Superman guy, that where does this dog come from?
Yep.
Well, it comes from right around the time you were born, Mike Francesa.
Yep.
I don't know where they are. They just introduced this out of nowhere. But it's at the end of the day, it's his opinion. Mike Francesa wants them to do the same Superman movie over and over and over again.
Yeah.
He does not. He'd rather see. He's probably a big fan of all these sitcoms that are reboots now.
Oh, for sure. For
every
sure.
new sitcom is an old sitcom these days.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is annoying me because, man, it makes me feel old. But no, he cannot. It's
not
at the end of the day, it's his opinion on the movie.
Not a winner. All right, there you go. All right, so our new champ. That's it for Takemania. Our new champ, Underdog. Underdogs. Hayden Winks, as you said it is, Seth? Hayden Winks?
Yeah, I believe so, yes. Hayden Winks.
Hayden Winks, who said that the Texans actually won the DeAndre Hopkins trade. Hayden Winks.
Plus, he also, the fact that he put that little how do you like them apples drop from Good Will Hunting, that's been, I like that movie, but that's one of my least favorite scenes in any movie ever. That you're badass, Your badass thing you're going to say is, how you like them apples?
Yeah, that's kind of...
Never did he sound like the nerd that he actually was more than in that moment.
That kind of plays into the question of the day on In the Loop yesterday of like old-timey sayings that people still use.
You can see Ben Affleck and Matt Damon sitting around. We're like, hey, how do we sound like Southies? As they're writing. How about you say, how do you like them apples? do tough kids say that around? I like, yeah, okay.
Totally. All right, that's Take-A-Mania, brand new champ, as we've had several weeks in a row here, man. That title has been passed around. All right, circling back to the Texans. The ESPN top 10 position group lists are all done. They went through all 11 of them over the last 11 days. There were 11 Texans that hit the radar on these votes. I think there's one big thing about these 11 guys that illustrates how Nick Caserio is executing his plan right now, almost to perfection. We will tell you what that is coming up next.